That's the energy you're going to hear tonight. Just want to say a few words. When I first came here, one of the first people to welcome me was Cynthia Dick. And she has an amazing spirit and has done so much in this community. And we bless Cynthia as she has decided to move closer to family at the end of this month. And we will miss her. One of the things she did when I was first here is to teach a worship course, and Cynthia was in that course and found a passion for leading worship and preaching, and has been doing so ever since, 9 years later. So we talked about Cynthia leading worship before she left for Lethbridge, and this was the day that we could find for her to do that. So we wish Cynthia every blessing and welcome her this morning as she shares a message with us.
Thank you. Our scripture today is taken from the book of Acts 9, verses 36 to 43. Imagine everything that strengthened the faith of the saints and widows who were friends of Tabitha. Her life had been a witness to them. She was devoted to doing good works and being generous. She was surrounded by those who cared deeply for her and were quick to come to her aid, including Peter, and she would do the same for others. In our reading today, her friends also experience a miracle together with her. As Christ was her shepherd, Tabitha had the strength to put her trust in God and to live as close as she could to him. Like the saints in the Revelation reading, she was not afraid to hunger or thirst because she needed the shepherd's voice that nourished her. Now in Joppa there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time, she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples who heard that Peter was there sent two men to him with the request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to a room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner of leather. These are the words today. Thanks be to God. Recently, Bob and I came back from the Big Island of Hawaii. We had a wonderful, relaxing holiday, and were blessed with good weather, great food, and fun with our neighbors, which we met while we were there. While the peace and relaxation was welcomed, the highlight of the trip for me was the opportunity we had to visit the first and oldest church in Hawaii in Kalua Kona. We went to the Easter Sunday service. In 1820, four young Hawaiians and 14 missionaries sailed 164 days to fulfill the high priest's prophecy of bringing Christianity to the Hawaiian people. When we walked into this beautiful stone building, it was like stepping back in time for me. The high ceilings, the altar with the backdrop of the stained glass window, and the wooden pews all reminded me of my childhood. But unlike the Sundays that we had to sit on hard wooden seats, they provided us with seat cushions and a fan to make our visit more comfortable. The service started with a praise hula. This was first for me. The whole experience was very spiritual. Before the Hawaiians had their language, they spoke to their people with the hula dance. And so this was very special. The Hawaiian people are happy and faithful people. My talk today is about strengthening your faith. I have spoken to you before on the subject of faith, but it is something that we must work on building if we are to maintain our relationship with God. While doing my research, I came across this statement, which kind of resonated with me. It read, "All strength comes from God." I may just have to frame that one day. God will provide comfort and strength when we're facing troubles of any kind. In 1 Chronicles 16, verse 11, it says, "Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always." And from Deuteronomy 3, chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave nor forsake you." There are many things that we do to strengthen in our lives. For example, our bodies. We can eat healthy, take vitamins, exercise, avoid smoking, and get enough sleep. We exercise our brains by learning, reading, and taking part in brain games. We can strengthen our families by spending time together and by teaching our children and reading to them, especially the Bible stories. We can strengthen our marriage by having respect for each other, by not taking each other for granted, by being kind and thoughtful, and remembering those occasions that are important to us. We can agree to share the chores and to have discussions on finances in a calm manner. We can strengthen our community by volunteering at the local food bank or animal shelter. We can get together to organize a watchdog group, and we can volunteer in youth sport league activities, or we can help out at a seniors' lodge. Psalm 18, verses 32 said, "It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect." One of the ways we can strengthen our faith is to learn more about the life of Christ, read about him, pray, and sing of his praises. The word faith implies more than just a belief. Rather, it is an action that we must do in our lives to show our desire to serve the Lord. If you have the desire, it will become easy to find ways to put them into practice. For example, God told us to love one another. Well, that seems like an easy thing to do. But I have met many people who have a hard time understanding that concept. Have they not heard of the phrase, "You get more with sugar than vinegar"? There are many variations of that, but you know what I'm getting at. When you're nice to each other and think of those less fortunate than yourself, you will be amazed at the change that will come over you. You may even feel more at peace in your life. And the very least, it will leave you with a warm and fuzzy feeling. We need to practice our faith, and we can do that by doing what he has asked us to do and follow his example. We will never know what life's path holds for us unless we do things to expand our knowledge. The same thing holds true with our faith. But faith in Jesus Christ doesn't just happen. You need to work at it. Isaiah 41 verses 10 says, "Faith starts small." You all know the parable of the mustard seed, in which it says, "If you have faith as small as the mustard seed, you can say to the mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it will obey you." Faith comes by hearing and brings great joy by doing. If you build a house on a strong foundation, and it becomes the subject of great force from a storm, it will stand strong because it was built well. The same rings true with our faith. If you hear his word but don't do anything with it, then it will be as if the man put up the house hastily and without much of a foundation. The storm would hit the house and it would be destroyed. Our faith is the same. It would wither and fade away. 1 Peter 4, verses 11 says, if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very word of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength of God, so that all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. In these challenging and uncertain times, it is God who will give you strength. But you must believe, you must have faith, and you must have unshakable confidence in his teachings. Not an easy task when you're faced with a difficult situation and not sure which way to turn. You can lose sight of God's plan for you. We have all said at one time or another, well, it's because God must be punishing me for something I've done. Or we get the feeling of helplessness comes over us and we just can't see any light at the end of the tunnel. The loss of a loved one or a painful divorce can shake our faith like nothing else. Joshua 1, verses 9 says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. David was a man who had great faith. He was a man devoted to God. Yet he found himself in a situation that looked to be a complete disaster. He and his men were away from his camp when the Amalekites came and raided their camp. They took all the women and children and all their belongings and set the town on fire. This is mentioned in 1 Samuel. When David and his men came back to his camp, they found it completely destroyed. David and his people were overcome with grief and wept loudly until there was no strength left in them to weep. To make things worse, David faced the possibility of being stoned because his people were so upset at what had happened. They had lost their loved ones in this terrible tragedy. Now, David could have turned back on the Lord because of this situation. He may have thought God had forgotten him or was mad at him for something. But David knew the Lord. He knew that God's purpose was to strengthen him. David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. He received the strength and power to overcome and to conquer. David inquired of the Lord and received word back from him that he was to go and find the Amalekites. And he did. He found them eating and drinking and generally partying it up in the countryside. They were celebrating what they had done and were oblivious to the impending danger. David and his men took them by surprise and overcame them. All the women and children were restored to David and his men. Everything that the Amalekites had stolen was recovered also. God had the final word. Not long after this happened, David was made king over Judah. David faced the Amalekites with great courage. He could have walked away from God, but he remembered God's plan for him was to be strong. In 2 Timothy 4, verses 7, it says, but the Lord stood by my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. Being a strong follower of Christ does not mean you can be a bully. You don't have to push people around. When you get strength from being a believer, you will do the right thing at the right time, and you will have peace in your heart. Reading and hearing God's word is like planting a garden. You put the seeds in the soil, you watch them and water them, and they will grow and prosper. If you fail to nurture them, they will wither and die. If we don't feed our faith on a regular basis, it too will drift away and die. We must feed our faith on a regular basis. We must feed our faith through prayer and the scriptures and service to the church. We cannot predict where the seed will sprout and which of us will respond and grow and which of us will be bitter and harbor resentment and reject Jesus' teachings. But those who do get the message do grow. Nature can sometimes surprise us, but the work of God surprises us more. The Israelites in the wilderness missed God's purpose. God wanted to make them strong in faith, strong in trust, and strong in the Lord. But when their food and water ran low, they were no longer strong. They felt weaker. They missed God's purpose. He strengthened their needs by providing food and whatever they needed. But they grumbled and complained. Caleb had learned of God's strength. After 40 years in the wilderness, he still felt as strong as the day Moses sent him out. Caleb knew God's purpose was to make him strong. He was a believer. As we strengthened, it is our job to help others find their strength. We can pray for one another and support our friends in difficult times. Philippians 4 verse 13 says, I can do anything through him who gives me strength. And Ephesians 6 verses 10 sums it all up. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. The message is simple. What we have learned from this is we must heed the word. If we fail to heed what we have read and ignore his teaching, then our faith will stagnate. It took faith for us to become the children of God in the first place. Therefore, in order to grow in our faith, we need to build on that measure of faith that God gave us. Our faith has been and is still being tested as Bob and I embark on a new life's journey. I am retiring from the office that I've worked in for the past 18 years, and we have decided to move to Lethbridge to be closer to our family. Please hold the applause till afterwards. It is a bold move and an uncertain one, but we have prayed and will continue to pray that we have made the right decision, and God will guide us as we go down to this new path. I'm not saying goodbye. I will just be away from you for a while. I hope that I'm invited back to speak to you again. Thank you.